Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with my second in command who's out at a Christmas garage sale, and we wish him the best on that. And I am high atop the radio world in downtown Portland in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios. It's New Year's, and we have a bunch of parties going on this whole week and weekend, and you got a month of playoffs and bowl games, and all those different things are headed your way. And, you know, you're going to go to the party, you have to eat something, but it can't all be liquid. We're not in our early 20s anymore. So I've asked my buddy Meathead from AmazingRibs.com to join us this week. Again, he's be kind of a fixture on the show now, but that's I love that part of it. And we're going to talk about some appetizers and party food and fun and trying to cut down on the use of Advil after the parties. Anyway, Meathead, welcome.
You got it, pal. It's good to talk to you. How you been, JT?
I've been good. Holidays are good. We have a little cold weather here and there for us.
Yeah.
Not like
same
Chicago,
here.
But yeah. But it's all good, and it's a new year, so I'm digging that. So
ready
what can
for,
you
ready for a good year? I think we're due.
I think we're
due for a good year.
I think we're due too. You want to recommend something as far as people cooking outside. I mean, there's the maniacs like us that still do it, and that's fine. But and we kind of know that stuff. But what should people be aware of if they're planning on barbecuing outside or smoking or grilling, whatever?
The weather never stopped me.
Right.
There are a couple of things you need to know if you're going to be grilling, and you know it is, as you said, it's party season, it's football watching season, it's finger food. It's stuff you want to eat with your hands while you're couch gating and you want to root for your team. And it's always better on the grill. And you can grill in cold weather. You got a couple of things to beware of. Number one, it's really important to start the fire 45 minutes or so early, because you got to heat the oven. I mean, a grill is nothing but an outdoor oven. You got to get all that metal warm. Otherwise, it's not going to cook well. And you got to remember that it's going to take more fuel. So if you're using charcoal or gas, you're going to need more fuel than you normally do to get things up to temp, even if you've got the oven really warm, because the air that it burns, because you're burning either gas and air or charcoal and air, or if you're using wood pellets and air. Air is always part of the fuel stream.
Sure.
That air is coming into the unit cold, so it takes more energy to heat it up. So you're going to need more charcoal than you normally do. You're going to need to turn the dial up on your grill a little more than normal. It doesn't hurt if you haven't done a lot of cold weather cooking to go out there and fire up without food and do a little dry run, see how long it takes to get things warmed up, and if you've got a good oven thermometer, what temperature, you know, how much fuel it takes to get up to a good cooking temp. But once you're up and rolling, it, you know, if it's warm in the oven, if it's 225 or 325, those are good numbers. You're ready to cook, and it doesn't matter what it's doing outside. Now, wind is your enemy. Wind will cool things off. So if you can position your cooker on the downside of the wind, some guys even build like a little box around their cooker, you know, take some sheets of plywood and put some hinges on them.
Sure.
And build a little a cubicle for it. That helps. Otherwise, you're good to go.
Yeah, and some of the pellet cookers out here, and you can do it with gas, but I don't recommend it. They kind of have these heavy, they're almost like a moving quilt that you would get from Allied Van Lines or something. And you can put that over the cooker, and it helps keep the whole warm thing going all the way around it.
Yeah, there are some fireproof blankets that you can put on them. A welder's blanket is a good one. Some, but not all, hot water heater insulation can work. Mm-hmm. I've got an article on AmazingRibs.com on cold weather cooking, and a lot of my readers have sent in pictures of their setup. How they, one guy's even built this little like a phone booth for his Weber Smoky Mountain, and all the different kinds. And I've got links to the things like the welder's blankets and stuff, so you can help insulate and keep that baby warm.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. The other thing I would suggest to people, and I want to get your take on this, is, and it kind of goes without saying, but it is winter, it is the party season. Whatever you're going to, if you're going to grill or barbecue or smoke, whatever, make sure that if it's a meat, if it's a protein, make sure it's thoroughly thawed. Don't pull it out of the freezer, because you're not going to have the success as you normally would with meat that's, you know, completely thawed. You're not going to have, if it's still a little frozen in the center. Summertime and stuff, you can get away with that a little bit, but you can't do it when it's, you know, 28 degrees outside.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you want to think about what you're going to cook. I'm a believer in finger foods. I mean, I don't want to have people sitting around on the couch with a plate and a knife and fork. I want to throw on the coffee table a bunch of platters. I mean, you know, your classic is chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fry them indoors if you want. That's the classic technique. But I love the flavor of them grilled, and if you get the grill set up properly, you can get them just as crispy as if they're fried. You can put them in the classic buffalo sauce. You can make your own barbecue sauce. You can use an Asian sauce. We've got some recipes for grilled wings and a variety of sauces that are great on those. Another one is Chinese. You know, just about anything you cook indoors, you can cook outdoors.
Sure.
Only better. And just about anything you can cook outdoors, you can bring it indoors. If it's really, really bitter, all these recipes can be brought indoors. We've got a recipe for Chinese-style ribs. And the Chinese-style ribs, you cook as an individual bone. You take your slab and you cut them into bones, you marinate them, and then you cook them, and they can be done in the oven, and they cook a lot faster than if you cook a whole slab of ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody loves Chinese style ribs. They're just a little chewier than low and slow southern barbecue, but they're delicious and they're great finger food. Another favorite I like is, let's improve upon the McRib sandwich, which is nothing more than ground pork. Let's actually cook a slab of ribs like a day or two in advance, and then cut the meat off the bone, chop it up, and put it on a burger bun, put it on a sandwich, drizzle your barbecue sauce on there, throw a couple pickle slices, and serve a better than McRib sandwich. That's always fun and easy to do, and you can cook the meat ahead of time.
Hallelujah, brother. Now, one thing I was going to tell you, too, about your wings, and we're going to have to go to break here in about 40 seconds, but I did a ranch sauce for my wings, because I have lived with people that have lily lips and they can't take hot food. So I would melt a little butter and just take some of your, like, Uncle Ben's ranch seasoning for that you would make salad dressing out of. And you put that in the bowl, melt the butter, put that in there. Don't make it too gooey, and, you know, whisk it together. Then you can splash your ribs around in the stainless steel bowl. And it's quite light, but it's quite good. So
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back talking with our buddy Meathead from AmazingRibs.com. And it's New Year's and going forward in 2018. Boy, it's scary just even say that. We'll be back.
Yeah, you're sure the life you're living with me can't go on, what it seems. Hi, I'm Simon Majumda, and you're listening to JT on Barbecue Nation. Remember, eat every part of the pig but the squeak.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Today we've got my buddy Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. Before we get back to talking to Meathead, if you'd like to email us, it's BarbecueNation@KXL.com. That's BBQNation@KXL.com. Also, you can do Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. And I'd like to welcome and thank all of the affiliates up and down the Radio Northwest Network for being with us, and also KSEY in Seymour, Texas, for airing the nation. So thanks a lot, guys. We're back with Meathead here. You know, some people have an aversion to finger food. I grew up on a ranch. Doesn't bother me a damn bit. But,
I've run into that, too. I don't get it. It's primal eating. This is the way we were, you know, our origins as cavemen.
Right.
We ate with our hands. And I like it. Plenty of napkins. I'm ready to go. And, you know, you just don't want to sit in a couch with a knife and fork and, or, you know, watch a football game with a TV table in front of you. Nah.
Yeah. No, I get it. Because it's just, we may not be invited to the Hamptons very much, but I can live with that. You know what I mean? I can live with that. What are some more? I think one of the standard things that people think about is you got to have brats. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to have brats. Easy enough. Sometimes they do the little cocktail sausages and they get cute and they wrap them in, kind of a crescent roll dough.
That those are fun. I like those
are,
things.
Yeah, those are all good. But would you recommend?
Well, I've got a good brat tub recipe on the website where you simmer the brat in beer. But as the brat cooks, and we actually did the test because I was skeptical, the beer actually does penetrate the brat. When it's done simmering, you add some mustard and some onions and some seasoning and a little bit of ketchup to the beer. Make a glop out of this stuff. Make a mustardy sauce that goes on top of the brat on the bun, and that's really nice. And you can do that on the grill. After you simmer it in the beer, you move the brats over on the grill so mm-hmm. it gets a nice crispy smokiness, and it gets a little crunchy on the outside. Related to that, here's a fun one. This country has regional styles of hot dog, and it may not be well known, but the way they make hot dogs in Cincinnati is different than the way they make them in Rochester,
mm-hmm.
Rochester, New York, different than the way they make them in Chicago, different than the way they make them in New York City, different than the way they make them in Rhode Island or Seattle or L.A. And one of the things I've done, because I'm a hot dog lover, is I have compiled recipes for all of America's regional hot dogs, but they all start with a bun and a weenie, usually an all beef weenie,
mm-hmm.
and then it's the toppings and the dressings that really make the regional styles. And that's a fun way to do a party: is you just whoop up a whole bunch of hot dogs and have buns, and let people combine the toppings. And I'm going to make a New York hot dog, which is done with sauerkraut and an onion mix,
mm-hmm.
and or a Chicago. There's seven ingredients on a Chicago hot dog, and that's a fun party.
You know, we make one out here, and I don't really know what region it originated in, but and I've got this recipe on my websites. But you chop some cabbage, and you use some bacon grease, and you do this in a skillet or a flat top, and you put a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of sugar. Some good old French's mustard, and then a little onion and bacon bits. And you turn that into kind of this hot relish. And, man, it's really good.
That does sound good.
Yeah, it's really good.
So, I mean, hot dogs are traditional with sports, but you can kick it up a notch. Now, if you're in the Hamptons, as you suggested, one of my favorites, if you want to go upscale, is you take a rack of lamb. Now, there's 8 rib bones in a rack of lamb, and you French it, they call it, which means you strip all of the fat and the meat off of the tips of the bones, because there's not much meat there, it's not mm-hmm. much to eat. And you roast the rack of lamb either on the grill or in the oven as a unit, or you can cut it every other bone so that you get two bone wide lollipops. And yeah. now you've got, you hold it by the bone. You don't have to put it on a plate and cut it with a knife and fork. They're like lamb lollipops, and boy, are they ever good. That is fantastic stuff.
Do you just season them with salt and pepper, maybe a little garlic or something? Or
garlic and rosemary are the classic seasonings for lamb.
Right.
A lot of people will put a mustard or a mustard and breadcrumb crust on it, which is nice. I like all of the above, but just salt and pepper works for me. I'll tell you, if you put me equidistant between a rack of lamb and a beef rib, ribeye,
mm-hmm.
I would probably die of starvation trying to decide which to eat first.
My question is, just how many shirts do you go through?
Oh, God.
I go through a lot.
I'm going to give a plug for somebody out here. On Amazon, I bought a little jar of something called Grandma's Stain Remover. And you better believe I go through this stuff. I don't know what's in there. It must be some kind of crazy enzyme. But every one of my shirts has grease stains on it, and this stuff gets it out. In fact, I had a panic this week. I was doing my laundry. I came back from a road trip, and I couldn't find Grandma's. I had to call my wife at work and say, "Where's the Grandma's?" Go get Grandma's stain remover.
Well, that's a good tip, because I'm going to get some right after this show's done. Because, like you, I've got these nice little reminders kind of in different various locations on my shirts and a few sweaters that I remember eating that, but I, so it was all good. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back and talk more about what you should be dining on this next month during the bowl games and getting ready for spring, both winter barbecue. Right after this, don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I didn't tell Meathead this, but our music today is with the Wilson Sisters, Heart from Seattle, and that song is "Cook with Fire." So you'll love that. Real good. Real quick again. If you want to contact us, it's KXL or Barbecue Nation at KXL.com. You can email us there, or you can email me at info@thecowboycook.com. And please do go to Meathead's website, which is amazingribs.com. So I'm going to give you a scenario, and you give me the answer, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You're having a Super Bowl party. That's going to be coming up in about a month.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to have a Super Bowl party, and you've got this kind of eclectic group of friends, but you invite somebody that doesn't like to eat with their fingers. Should you offer them – here's the barbecue etiquette thing – should you offer them latex gloves to eat with?
I never thought of that. Oh, my God. I have a box of them that's like a Kleenex box.
Yeah.
And they come, they pop up after you pull them out.
Sure.
You know, cooks have to have latex gloves around. You just put one of those in the middle of the table right next to the napkins.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. I'm too old and don't care anymore to deal with snooty people. And so it's like, I'd rather see you with some barbecue sauce under your fingernails than looking like you're going to drown at first sign of rain. So anyway,
that's hysterical.
That's good. Those flanking ribs, they're the end of the beef ribs, and they trim them and then you get them in your, I really like those.
Yeah.
How do you prepare them?
Well, all right, just to clarify for the audience, beef ribs, there are several different types, and I actually have a whole page that describes the different types of them. Beef back ribs, which are like pork back ribs,
mm-hmm.
Don't have a lot of meat on them because that's where the prime rib meat sits, and they trim as much meat off as they can so they can sell it at a premium for ribeye steaks and
sure.
prime rib. So there's a little bit of meat between the bones, but as you move further down the side of the animal, you get into the chuck ribs and the side ribs, and they have a pretty good stack of meat on them, particularly two or three bones that can have like 2 inches of meat on them. The flank and ribs, they cut across the bones. So if you look at it, you see like 4 or 5 cross-cut bones in them
mm-hmm.
and a nice big pile of meat on top. And you can leave the bones in or take them out. They cook really pretty quickly, and usually they absorb marinade reasonably well because it's not that thick. And, of course, that's your traditional cut that they use for Korean kalbi.
Right.
Kalbi is just delicious, and I've got a good recipe for that kalbi marinade. If you've had it, that's often where this comes from. Or bulgogi, they're similar, and they come from the ribeye or the ribs, and you can cut the meat off after you've cut it, and it makes a great sandwich. You can put it on a pork, on a hamburger bun, and bulgogi or kalbi on a sandwich is really nice. You know, sandwiches are a really good thing to serve for the game. My favorite sandwich in the world is a Reuben sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer, Reuben classically is made with corned beef.
Right.
But if you take corned beef and you soak it for an hour or so just to get some of the salt out, and then you put the right spice rub on it, and I've got the recipe, and throw it on a smoker, you come out with pastrami. That's what pastrami is. It's smoked corned beef with the correct spice rub. And you make a Reuben sandwich with homemade pastrami, and it is a ticket to heaven. That is one great sandwich. I love that stuff, and I love cooking it.
I've been a corned beef fan since I was probably about 10 or 12, and a little later on, you know, got into the pastrami. I love both of them equally as much. I love them both. I love Reuben sandwiches. In college, one of my favorite things was to go down to the deli in the student union and get a corned beef on rye with Swiss, just mustard and mayo, and then I would take it down to the vegetarian place in the student union, in the cafeteria, and use all their condiments. One of my best friend's wife at the time, or soon to be wife, ran it. And so I would drive her nuts with this big pile of corned beef on there, but it's good. I love it.
Love those sandwiches. Another good sandwich that Chicago is famous for is what they call the Italian beef sandwich. And this comes from a very lean cut, usually the rump, you can grill it or smoke it as they do down in Baltimore, or you can just roast it in the oven, and it's thin sliced, and it's dipped in a jus, and you mm-hmm. make the jus from the drippings of the meat, or you can use a beef stock, and it's just a roast beef sandwich that you serve on a hoagie bun, and it's just delicious. And I've got a good recipe for a horseradish sauce that goes on it on the website, too. You just can't go wrong with sandwiches, and you can put out 2 or 3.
Yeah, and I've got one here for you that is easy to make. You don't have to grill it or anything, but I just call it a chicken pesto, and you get some. You can buy a big can of white chicken meat. It's already cooked and everything, and it's very simple. You just take a little mayo, some pesto and some lemon zest and mix it up, and then you put it in a pita pocket. And and it's real quick to make. People, the finger food, you know, type thing. And so for those people who don't want to get any barbecue sauce on their fingers, you can simply eat the chicken pesto sandwich. There you go.
You know, that's really a nice combo. I've written about what I call mayo mojo, because mayo is really versatile. What I like to take a chicken breast, and then I get some mayo and a few drips of sesame oil, which is that brown Chinese oil, and not much because it's powerful, and mix that in with the mayo and make a chicken breast sandwich with it, and you get that wonderful Asian flavor to it. You can add chipotle to mayo, a sriracha to mayo, pesto, as you say. Mayo, it takes a lot of fun stuff you can add to it, herbs, spices.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You can really doctor mayo and come up with some fun stuff.
Now, do you guys use Hellman's back there, which is Best Foods out here?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a Hellman's devotee. I've made mayo from scratch, and it's good. But I think a lot of chefs, you get down in the Southeast and they use Duke's.
Yeah.
But a lot of top chefs around the country, they just buy Hellman's. It seems to be popular with the chefs.
Well, I think, you know, Best Foods or Hellman's or whatever you want to call it, they got it down. I don't think we have to mess with it much there. So we've got about a minute and a half before we need to go to break. Give me three things that you would serve, you know, for a couch gate or one of those things that most people probably wouldn't think of.
Pickled eggs with cowboy candy. Pickled eggs, they get, you pickle them with a red vinegar.
Yeah,
and it really is. It's really cool looking when you slice them open. The outside is purple, and the inside is white and yellow. And cowboy candy is jalapeno slices, pickled with a lot of sugar and vinegar, and they go great together. I absolutely love them. I also like doing jalapeno poppers.
Yep.
And I fill those poppers with cream cheese and a blend of spices and herbs. And I can come real close to making boursin, which is a commercial cream cheese spread, which is very expensive. And you can make it at home just by taking cream cheese and adding a spice and herb combo. I've got a good recipe for that on the website, too.
I love that. That's all good. We are going to take a break, and we're going to come back and wrap up the New Year's show with Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com right after this. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to our New Year's show here on Barbecue Nation. Don't forget, you can get a hold of us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. Our Facebook page is Barbecue Nation with JT, and we Twitter, tweet, hollow, and jump, and do all that stuff. So anyway, we've got Meathead Goldwyn with us here from AmazingRibs.com. We've been talking about if you're going to do a New Year's party or Super Bowl, all the bowl games in between, what you should be looking for, and, you know, kind of give you a few helpful tips here. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, though, was, you know, sometimes people try to do a little too much.
Yeah.
And you can't fault them for trying, not in the least. But what would, you know, my recommendation is, you know, you can practice, you can take something, and when you get it, serve it to people. You know, once you got it cornered. But what's your recommendation for folks?
Oh, you're really good. You know, we're sitting here and I'm telling people about all these wonderful things that they can serve at the party. And the recipes are on the website or in my book. But you really should not try to go outside of your ballpark when you've got company coming over, because if you screw up or if you forget about it or fail, It's embarrassing, and people go hungry. But these recipes that I'm sharing here are tried and true. We have had 36 million page views last year. If something is ambiguous or problematic, we hear about it fast. But I do recommend you experiment and you get it down before a company shows up. And hey, it's a great excuse. You got between now and January 1st, and then the whole month of January is football month. Practice.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, I've been to a few of those parties where things didn't turn out. I wasn't bothered by the fact they didn't turn out. I just felt bad for the host or hostess who was kind of embarrassed, and you know, I'm sure it wasn't above their skill level, but you don't make a new recipe perfect the first time. It just doesn't happen. I don't think.
Does. Yeah, it does. If you follow my recipe.
Oh. Oh.
I hear all the time, man, it was fantastic. People jumped through their, you know what. If you want, you can try to do stuff that you can do ahead, like those pickled eggs. You
right.
can do those ahead. Smoked nuts. If you've got a smoker and if the weather isn't too scary to you, make some smoked nuts. I've got about 10 recipes for different kinds of nuts, different kinds of crusts, or the nuts, smoking it just straight, smoking it with a savory crust, smoking it with a sweet crust, smoked nuts. And you can make 6 or 8, put them out. Everybody loves that sort of thing. And you can do them ahead. So if it doesn't work, you know it.
That's true. That's very true. And the other thing is, I think you can experiment with some smoked desserts. I'm not a big guy on smoking fruits because that's just me. But I know some of our contemporaries have been smoking fruits and injecting ice cream and all that. You can do it if you want to. That's fine. But I think
my favorite thing to grill in the world is pineapple.
Yeah.
Just a slice of pineapple. Oh, my God. It is so good. And it gets so much sweeter as the sugars caramelize. I could just eat smoked pineapple. I mean, grilled pineapple all day. I love that stuff.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I did one time, I'll just tell you, I did it one time. I'd come back from a big trip in Vegas, come home, and I told my wife that I saw this flaming papaya dessert. So I tried it, have the papaya, actually put some ice cream and nuts in it, and then put a little drambuie and I think maybe some B&B, and had some. Well, I put the ice cream in after we smoked it, okay? But the point is then I lit the alcohol on fire and I had a napalm track all the way through the house where it leaked to the dining room. So I've only done that once.
Yeah, that'll disqualify you.
Yeah.
Well, hey, how about for dessert you're talking about? The easiest and simplest thing if the weather cooperates, and that's maple syrup taffy. You just go out and get some really clean white snow, put it in a pan, stick in the freezer so it's really cold, pull it out and drizzle maple syrup on it, and then roll it up on a stick, and you got maple syrup taffy, and it is just so much fun. Kids love it, skill level is zero. How far wrong can you go with that?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. All right, we are out of time. Meathead from AmazingRibs.com. My friend, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
It's always great talking with somebody who knows how to cook, knows food, and speaks the same language. You're the best, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. And folks, we want everybody to have a happy new year out there. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. And remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody. See you next week.
On behalf of myself and the crew, thank you very much for being here.